You're tuned to New Sound Radio, 92 FM. This is the Community Hour, and I'm Pete Dane. I don't know if you pick up the local paper. You can easily be forgiven for thinking, I don't know, East London, it's a hotbed of crime. It's run by gun-totting, evil, drug-dealing, child-molesting, murderous thugs. What was the reality? I don't know, it might be something a bit different to that. But there can be no doubt that crime and fear of crime as well is a big issue in a lot of people's minds here in East London. And to deal with this, of course, often the first place people look is, of course, the police. Once on the one hand, the cry goes out, police, they've got to be tough on crime, yeah? Should go out there and catch these criminals. On the other hand, I don't know, you have to be even-handed about this done. And it's not only got to be done even-handedly, it's got to be seen to be done even-handedly as well. Sometimes it doesn't always go the way that the police would maybe want it to go to. And there'd be an inquiry into, yet another inquiry really, into the events surrounding the murder of Stephen Lawrence, the black South London teenager. Or maybe accusations of misuse of stop and search powers here in East London. Well, here to look at these issues, we're joined now live in the studio by Kevin Blow and Estelle Deboulay from the Newham Monitoring Project. Kevin and Estelle, thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM.
Thank you. Hello.
Thanks, Pete. Nice to be back.
OK, Kevin, can you just explain to us what exactly is the Newham Monitoring Project?
Well, the Newham Monitoring Project was set up in 1980. It came into existence particularly because of problems about racist violence directed predominantly at the Asian community. There was a racist murder on Green Street in Knapsen Park. And then over the years, it's dealt with both the supporting people who've been through that experience, trying to put pressure on the police and other authorities to make sure that they respond properly to those incidents. And increasingly over the years, it's dealt with complaints particularly from young black and Asian people about the way they are treated by the police. So it's a combination of all those three.
I mean, are there a lot of complaints about the police? I mean, in East London, or Newham in particular? I mean, is it a big issue? I don't know.
We think it's a huge issue, but it's not necessarily one that turns into a huge issue on paper. We talk to a lot of young people through workshops, through contact, through them coming to us. They have a lot of complaints, but whether they're willing to sort of proceed with that and actually put that down into a sort of paper complaint and file that is something quite different.
I mean, exactly how do people... I mean, because who actually monitors... I mean, you're the new monitoring project. Who officially... Because you're not an official body, are you?
We're a completely independent body. So we monitor, in a sense, from a community eye. People come to us, they tell us about their experiences. We go out and we talk to people. We've built up a huge body of evidence over the 30 years. I think puts us in an excellent position to monitor the police locally.
Okay. I mean, officially, though, is there any way that people can complain? If somebody was complaining about the police, what officially exists in terms of that?
Well, absolutely. There is an official police complaint system, which is initially most police complaints are investigated by the police themselves. Some more serious complaints get investigated by a body called the Independent Police Complaints Commission, which I think a lot of people will have heard of, yep. Called the IPCC.
That's normally if there's been shootings and people, yeah, there's exactly. Normally very serious matters indeed, yeah.
But on the day-to-day kind of complaints, they would not usually get involved. So the main body is the police investigating themselves. That's called the Department of Professional Services or Standards. And the way for people to access that is to just put in a complaint. They can put it in writing, they can go to a police station and do it. But we really recognise that people have a lot of difficulties accessing that, putting in complaints.
I mean, what is the problem? I mean, do people use it? Does it work? I mean,
I think the one of the difficulties with it is that when people put in a complaint, they get incredibly frustrated by how long it takes for that complaint to be dealt with, the constant pressure to try and, you know, resolve things, you know, as informally as possible, you know, a chat or something like that. What tends to happen is that it sends out a message that making a complaint is, one, incredibly difficult to do, and two, is really not worthwhile doing, which is why the number of complaints is quite often low compared to, for instance, the number of stops and search that take place in across East London. And we want to encourage people to use the systems that are there, because the only way that the police, like other public bodies, are held accountable is if people exercise their right to complain if they think that public body's done something wrong.
Okay. I mean, looking taking that as an example, the stop and search thing. I mean, just to be clear about what we're talking about, we're talking about someone who is a suspect who's been stopped by the police and they search them and things like that. What is the law on that? I mean, what legal rights have the police got to stop and search people?
Well, There are a number of laws that allow the
police. I'm sure it's very complicated. If we can,
I'm going to try and do it
I'll put the clock on. Stop clock on. You've got 30 seconds starting now.
Right, there's a number of laws that allow the police to stop and search people. Not necessarily because they suspect them, by the way. Some laws around them having reasonable suspicion. Other laws, they can stop anybody in a geographical area.
Right.
And that's... Yeah, there are a number of...
There's a number of different laws, and it must have sort of like different reasons for doing it. Okay, I'll tell you what, if I give you an example then, because a lot of people say, well, the police, they've got to do their job. They've got to stop people. They've got to search people for various reasons. If I'll give you an example. Say somebody dials up a 999 call, yeah, and they say, tell you what, I've just seen this guy wearing a bright red coat, and he was climbing in through into a window of a house. Yeah? And anyway, they don't know, and the police send a car down there. Yeah? And just as the police are arriving, they see this man wearing a bright red coat running down the road with a bag in his hand. Yeah? And they see him down there. I mean, to a lot of people, they would say, that seems quite reasonable to stop the searching. What would you say?
The chances in those circumstances of the officers stopping and searching the individual are pretty low. They're probably just going to nick him, to be honest. I mean, our experience isn't that stop and searches tend to happen in those circumstances.
Okay.
One of the things about the figures that are released by the Metropolitan Police themselves is that, I mean, to give you an example, over the last couple of months, there's been about 1,600 stops and searches. Four out of five of those.
Which 1,600? Where was that?
That's in Newham. That's just
in Newham. Over
over January and February of this year.
Just 2 months.
Yeah, and
say that again. Hang on. Over 2 months in Newham, there was how many?
There was, well, I can give you the exact figures.
No, go on. Yeah, go on. It's
991 in January and 791 in February.
That does seem a lot, doesn't it?
And one of the key things to remember is that in four out of five of those stop and searches, there is no arrest made.
Right.
In addition, and I think this is important to emphasise as well, the police record stuff about the disproportion, what they call the disproportionality, whether somebody's more likely to be stopped because of the colour of their skin.
Right.
And one of the consistent figures throughout if you look at the figures for the last 12, 13 months, you are far more likely to be stopped and searched if you're young and black, and particularly during the summer months when obviously there's more people out on the streets than you are if you're white. Mm. And, I mean, those are the figures that are released from the police themselves. So, four out of five, no arrests whatsoever. That's an important thing for people to remember. When you worry about stopping, I don't want to go on too much about statistics, but the other thing is that 60% of those cases are not to do with weapons, they're not to do with stolen property, and 60% is about suspicion of possession of drugs, which, in all honesty, those stops and searches are not reducing the level of drugs in
if you go to certain areas of Newham, I mean, there are drugs
But it's not doing anything it's not doing anything to stop that, I mean, one of the things that you may have heard about, there's a report, I think, from the drugs charity release, said that you're far more likely to be a drug user if you're white than if you're black. And yet it's black people who seem to be the ones that are being stopped and searched more often. So...
How do you explain this, then?
Well, I mean, our case, if you like, is basically that stop and search is an incredibly blunt instrument that doesn't really make a difference to crime. That there are far more effective ways of dealing with some of those issues. And the proof of that is that, Estelle mentioned, there's different powers. There's one that's used where it's called a Section 60 stop, and it doesn't require reasonable suspicion. And because of the controversy about its use, last year the Metropolitan Police kind of stopped using it. I mean, the figures dropped from about, in this area, mm-hmm. from, 50 or 60 a month down to absolutely none whatsoever in January.
Okay.
And there hasn't been a huge tidal wave of crime as a result of this. It's just that they decided to do something better and more effective. And to be honest, that's one of the things that we've been arguing for a very, very long time.
Okay.
What happens when you stop and search loads of people is those four out of five that are never arrested go away deeply resentful about the fact that they've been stopped, particularly if they've been stopped again and again and again.
I mean, what advice would you give someone if, like, they have been stopped and searched by the police and they think, you know, they've been picked on, or, you know, it wasn't justified? What advice would you give them?
Well, our advice would be to come and have a chat with us, first of all.
We'll give contact details at the end of things.
Exactly. To have a discussion about that so we can work out how we can support them, because if they want to take that forward, then they're going to need to put in a complaint, and we can help them through that process, because as Kevin was was saying, that can be a very, very slow and long process, and they need to decide whether they want to go through that. But we, you know, we'll always talk to them about the kind of pros and cons of doing that and support them all the way through.
I mean, do you think the police are doing anything to address these issues you're talking about?
Well, as I said, there have been some changes, like, for instance, that particular power that I mentioned. I mean, what tends to happen with changes in the way that the police respond is because of pressure from outside. I mean, you mentioned the Lawrence inquiry in your introduction. I mean, I was at the Lawrence inquiry with the Stephen Lawrence family 16 years ago, and still doing this stuff. There are still issues there, but I mean, things have clearly changed, but they've changed where they have changed for the better. They've changed for the better because of pressures from organisations like Newham Monitoring Project. You know, you've got to keep at it. These are public bodies, so they need to be held to account.
Okay, so really, I mean, it's almost like the school report is could do better, but you know, you're kind of progress as well. Would you say there's been progress?
Things are definitely different from what they were in the in the 1980s and 1990s, but I would say this, there's a... very recently, there were some very high-profile cases involving racist conduct by police officers in Newham that got a lot of coverage.
That was to do with the young teenager, was it, with the mobile phone?
That's correct, yeah.
Could you just remind us of that story very briefly,
Yes, it's a young man from Beckton, 21-year-old man, who was taken to a police station in the back of a van, and during the process of that journey, he managed to record the police.
It was on his mobile phone, was he? He just happened to have his mobile phone, and he pushed the right button to record it.
Yeah, he managed to record it and captured some racist abuse in the process, and then put in a complaint.
And it was the police who were making his racist comments. And I think an officer... So it was disciplined as a result
That's correct. An officer has been sacked as a result of that.
The difference in that case is that the officer was sacked. So that case could have been, and that incident could have been one that appeared when an MP was doing its work in 1994 or when it was doing its work in 1984. The difference is now that because of the pressure that we're able to place on it, the officer was held to account for...
And also, of course, comment. It was recorded, of course, as well. And so I was presumably, I presume the officer would have denied it if it was recorded, or at least would have had the opportunity to have denied it. Yeah, so, you know, he could have done that, couldn't he? Okay, just thinking in terms of, like, policing and the way it's done, I've heard, I don't know whether this is true or not, I've heard that the police have started to use some cameras... on their bodies. Can you tell us something about that?
That's right. And Newham is one of the areas where that's being piloted alongside Hackney as well. And I think what's quite interesting about that is, particularly in this kind of the wave of cases around police racism that came out in the last couple of years, the message that's coming from senior police officers is that these cameras should be something that actually...
What exactly are they? The cameras? Where are these attached?
It's a camera. It's kind of attached to like the sort of lapel area on a jacket. Outward facing. It doesn't.
It's like a webcam sort of thing, but it's attached to your body, and then it'll have some sort of device for recording it.
It records what the police officer would be seeing, I suppose, looking forward. It doesn't actually record the officer themselves,
right?
And it's something that can be controlled by the officers. So this is a new thing that's been brought out. You know, it's been argued that this will actually, you know, be helpful to black communities. It gives them a route to hold police officers to account and actually capture some experiences.
Well, if it's on film, nobody could argue with it, I suppose. I mean, is there any problems with that, do you think, or any issues surrounding?
I think it's a new scheme that's coming out, but we've got some concerns about it, and we're just very interested to hear back from people when around their experiences, if they actually, you know, if they do end up in an encounter where the police are filming. I mean, it has, as I say, it's been presented that they might actually be able to sort of prevent future cases of racism, but our concern is that this, you know, any system that is actually controlled by the police themselves is not one which is an objective and independent scheme.
And what happens to all this film afterwards? And I suppose there's a lot of issues surrounding it.
If there's a hope that it's going to catch an officer in a, you know, if there's some misconduct, if the officer is actually in charge of turning that on and off, then there's essentially a problem with that. I mean, we've also, you know, we're sort of concerned about how the data will be retained, because I think this is also part of a greater move towards technology and uses of technology by the police. And I think people need to understand, and we all need to understand where that data is going to be kept and for how long and for what reasons. And at the moment, the police are, you know, in certain circumstances, they can keep it for up to 7 years, which is, I think, something not going to be widely known in the community.
Okay. I tell you what, we're going to have to go to the break a bit. Can you tell us, if somebody wants to contact the Newham Monitoring Project, how could they go about that?
There's a number of different ways. We've got a website, and you can get all the details from there. We're open Monday to Friday. You can call us. We've also got a 24-hour line, which is serviced by over hundreds of trained volunteers in the evenings and weekends. Yes, fantastic. Oh, amazing, there's a lot of support for this project. Yeah. They can email us. There's many different ways. And obviously, when we're out and about in the community, they can stop us and talk to us.
You couldn't just give us that telephone number, could you?
I certainly could. So our emergency line number is 0800 169 3111.
Okay. And we'll get that number at the end. And your website address?
Is www.nmp.org.uk.
Oh, it's an easy one, isn't it? Easy one, that is. Okay. I tell you what, though, we're going to go to the break now, but there's one thing just to ask before you go, which is, if there's one thing, I'm going to ask both of you this, yeah? If there's one thing that could be done to improve policing in East London, and Newham in particular, there's one thing could be done, what would that be?
I would say that anything that can be done to improve the level of accountability of the police would be a step forward. Certainly the issue around increased accountability around stop and search is something that we are very passionate about, and I would say that anything that can improve that situation would be something that we'd welcome.
And I would say it would be very good if Newham could actually be a pilot borough for something else, which would be actually telling people during a stop and search encounter that they don't need to give their name and address, and ensuring that's on the form when the police officer is telling people, and so that people actually understand their rights.
And that is actually part of the law, yeah?
Exactly.
Yeah,
at the moment, when police officers ask, I think quite often people don't realise it's a voluntary question and they're handing over their information when they don't need to. We'd love to see that actually go through in Newham.
Estelle and Kevin, thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM. But you will stay, won't you? Because we've got some weird things going on a bit later on, which is all to do with the unidentified flying objects. You'll stay for that, won't you?
We will, yes, indeed. Definitely.
Okay, stay tuned to New Sound Radio 92 FM. It's going to get spooky, I tell you. Stay tuned.
Advertise on New Sound Radio for as little as £10 per day.